Let's turn to Exodus chapter 15. We're going to get straight into the Word, then we're going to worship, then we're going to have victory.
Come on.
Yes.
Now, this is the great song of triumph that called the Song of Moses, rejoicing in the deliverance of his people from Egypt. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted.
Yes.
The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior.
Yes.
The Lord is his name.
Right. Yeah.
Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea.
Right.
Yeah.
The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone.
Yeah.
Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power.
Yes.
Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble.
Yes.
By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your mouth, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working miracles, wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. And so on. It's good, isn't it?
Yes.
We have an enemy.
Yes.
And sadly, he will always remain our enemy. So it is not to be wondered at that we experience opposition.
Yeah.
We experience opposition personally. We experience opposition corporately as the body of Christ.
Mm.
The enemy opposes God and therefore opposes the purposes of God and therefore the people of God.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have to be afraid of the one over whom Jesus has won the victory.
Yes.
Amen.
But we do need to understand our enemy. We need to understand the tactics of our enemy. We need to understand how he is coming against us at any particular time, and therefore how we are to have the victory over him.
Yes.
Now, God has been leading us in a particular way in these last few weeks. The last few Tuesday mornings, we've had very powerful times. He's been reminding us that we need to be restored to our first love, that of prime importance in our lives is our love for Jesus himself, and ministry and everything else that we need to get involved and engaged in must never take the place of supremacy over the Lord himself. Then we had that very powerful time last week when he was talking to us about what he was holding against us as Kingdom Faith, that there is not the unity amongst us that he desires as unity, but not of the depth that he desires, because there must be no criticism, no judgment of one another, and so on. I don't need to repeat what he said last week, but it was a very, very powerful time, and the fear of God, I think, came upon us.
Yeah.
in a very real way, and we saw how awesome it is to judge God by judging others, to condemn God by condemning others, to criticize God by criticizing others. And there's a lot more that I could say about that, because since last Tuesday, God has been speaking to me a lot more about it. But he laid on my heart something completely different for us to do, but he's made it clear to me that he can only do what he's going to do this morning because of what he's led us through in these last weeks.
Yes,
good. That he must be supreme, that our focus is on him as the Lord of glory, the King of glory, the victorious one, and we must be united of one heart and mind in coming against the enemy, because the enemy always tries to cause division. He tries to cause separation. He tries to sow the negative into the hearts and minds of God's people, because he knows the negative will divide him, whereas Jesus knows the negative will unite us. Father, may they be one. So it's really on the back of what God has been doing the last few weeks that he's going to lead us in the way that he is this morning. Now, if you turn to Psalm 24, we've just heard the great song of Moses, triumph over the enemy. Now we'll let David in on the scene. And you'll see the relationship between what God has been leading us through and what he's going to do this morning. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. God has really been taking us through all that in recent weeks. Then David says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Now, our focus this morning is on the King of glory. Because the King of glory is the mighty warrior, is victorious. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Amen. The Lord is the one who is mighty in battle. We're not, but he is. So what we're doing is establishing his victory, not our victory. We're establishing his victory in his name. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Nothing is impossible for the King of glory. He is Almighty. Amen. We could go through many, many other scriptures about the Lord and his victory. He is our banner. He is our victory. Hallelujah. Yeah. We shout for joy because of our salvation. And in God's name, we will raise banners of victory.
Yes. Yes.
David also says in the Psalms. So we can believe that we shall overcome our enemies through you and trample down those who oppose us by the power of your name. Now, the name denotes the person, and of course the name of God, the name of Jesus, is the name of the one who has already won the victory over all the powers of darkness, over the enemy on the cross. He has disarmed the principalities and powers through his death on the cross.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
Okay, just quieten down the yeses, okay? We're glad you agree, but we don't want to hear you agreeing all the time. So now what we want to do is to see the victory in areas where we need to see the victory. In our lives personally and corporately, in the body. Now, there is a particular spirit that is opposing the church worldwide at present. There are demonic forces coming against the church all the time. But those of you that have been around for a few years know a little bit about the Leviathan spirit. And those of you that have read the blog on the website, listened to the blog and read the article that's on the website, see there that we have had to repel the attack of, or ask the Lord to do that, to repel the attack of Leviathan upon us. But the enemy doesn't give up. Just because we have victory at one time doesn't mean that there isn't going to be further attacks. And over the months, regularly, I have people talking to me about this Leviathan spirit. And what is this Leviathan spirit? God has told me a Leviathan spirit is coming against us. What is it? And this happened even this last weekend. I heard of a church where there is a serious situation at present, and the pastor was praying, and the Lord said, it's the Leviathan spirit. And he didn't know what that was, so he was referred by somebody else to look at our website and to see about it. And if you just turn to Job, the end of Job, we'll look just for a moment at this, because I want you to understand something of what we are going to overcome this morning. Chapter 41 of Job. You know that all the way through Job, he had what are called his comforters, these people that were giving him advice. And then God speaks right at the end of Job. And he really speaks about the power of the enemy. And it's as if, you know, all his advisors had been trying to tell Job what was wrong with him and hadn't identified that this was really an attack of the enemy. You remember right at the beginning of the book of Job, God gave the devil the leave to attack Job, to test Job, but he was not allowed to kill him. You remember that? So it really was an attack of the enemy. And yet all these advisors were saying, well, Job, you haven't done this and it's your fault and there must be sin in your life and boom, 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 boom. And they hadn't really identified this is enemy activity. And often, you know, we are in situations and we look at ourselves. Is there something wrong here? There's something wrong. We look at other people. We get critical with them. If they hadn't done this, if she hadn't said that, if this hadn't happened, if that hadn't happened. And what we fail to recognize is there's enemy activity around. And very often the people that are opposing us and causing us problems are actually under the influence of some enemy action, whether they realize it or not. Deceiving spirits, accusing spirits, whatever. And we only get the victory. It's not a victory over people. It's a victory over the enemy and the way in which he is influencing people, or people have come under his influence. So you don't really get the victory if you just look at the situations and not what lies behind the situations. So what we're doing this morning is looking at what lies behind the situation. Now, let's just see about Leviathan. It will help you to realize that Leviathan here is probably the Nile crocodile. Now, you need to understand a thing about a crocodile. You can read more about this on the website. I'm not going to talk for long about this. But, you know, a crocodile has two big jaws like this. And what it does is it catches its prey in its teeth. But it can't consume his prey. Because as soon, if he tried to chew, he would have to open his mouth, and in opening his mouth, the prey would escape. So what he does is he traps his prey, and he twists them under the water and drowns the prey till it is dead. Then he can bring it to the surface, put it on the bank, and consume it. So his whole purpose is, first of all, to trap, to twist, to seek to kill, and then devour. What is the devil like? He steals, kills, and destroys. So he steals, he twists and kills, then he brings his prey on the bank and destroys. Are we there?
Yes.
So it's a real work of the enemy, and this is probably in Scripture the most powerful spirit, this Leviathan spirit. It's almost like a picture of the enemy himself, that only the Lord himself can overcome, that man can't overcome without the Lord. We have authority over all the works of the enemy, but when Leviathan comes, it's almost as if the Scripture says, this is too strong for you on your own. You have to have the Lord doing the battle for you. And you must believe the Lord to do that battle. It's not just a question of saying, we bind you, Leviathan, in the name of Jesus, because he sort of laughs at that. You will see what I mean. Can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook? Just imagine trying to catch a crocodile with a fish hook, and you'll get the point. Or tie down his tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he keep begging you for mercy? Will he speak to you with gentle words? Will he make an agreement with you for you to take him as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of him like a bird, or put him on a leash for your girls? Will traders barter for him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on him, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. You see, because the battle belongs to the Lord, especially when it comes to Leviathan. Any hope of subduing him is false. The mere sight of him is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse him. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. I will not fail to speak of his limbs, his strength, and his graceful form. Who can strip off his outer coat? Who would approach him with a bridle? Who dares open the doors of his mouth, ringed about with his fearsome teeth? His back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. His snorting throws out flashes of light. His eyes are like the rays of dawn. Firebrands stream from his mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Now, you see, the whole thing becomes what starts as this sort of Nile crocodile becomes like a fiery monster. But the important thing is that we understand the nature of what we're up against. You know, we could go on and on, but I'm not going to read anymore. You see that this thing is even here in Scripture portrayed as fearsome, but we don't have to be afraid because the battle is the Lord's. Now, what does this enemy do? Well, first of all, as I just said, he traps people. Now, the crocodile is submerged under the water, isn't he? If you see anything, you see just his eyes above the water. And he glides silently and then suddenly traps his prey. So people that are trapped by this spirit are caught unawares. He glides up to them without them realizing what is happening, and he has them in his jaws before they realize it. In other words, the enemy has, in some sense, trapped them. Now, it's not for us to go into long explanations as to how this happens or why this happens. The fact is that it does happen. And it does happen in a number of different ways in different people. But if you look down at verse 34, right at the end of this, well, let's read from verse 32. Behind him he leaves a glistening wake. You can just see this crocodile coming, you know, just a little ripple in the water. That's all he leaves. No one would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is his equal, a creature without fear. Now, he looks down on all that are haughty. He is king over all that are proud. What gives him the opportunity to entrap people is pride. I gather Pastor Clark was talking about pride on Sunday, but I don't know what he said. But the thing is that pride gives the enemy the opportunity. Now, what is pride? Pride is thinking that you are better than others, you know better than others, you have the right to judge or to criticize or to condemn others. Now, we saw last week, you see, the very, very serious nature of that as far as God is concerned, that if you judge anyone, you are judging God. If you criticize anyone, you are actually criticizing him. That we never have any right to judge anyone because we ourselves have sinned. All judgment belongs to Jesus, according to Scripture, because he is the only one who never sinned. Yes. So we never have the right to judge. And when we judge, it is always the fruit of pride. Yes. It is always thinking that we are better, or we can condemn others, we can put them down because of what they've done, because of what they've said, or just because we don't like them, for any kind of reason. But it's pride, it's haughtiness that lifts you up. Now, God withstands the proud. God pulls down the proud. And what does Leviathan want to do is he wants to pull down people. He wants to twist and drown them. Are you understanding?
Yeah.
So it's pride that gives him the opportunity. But you know, proud people don't recognize their pride. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody a few days ago on the phone, and I could see very clearly that his real problem was pride. He'd been through such a difficult time, he was convinced that he couldn't have any pride, that all the pride had been knocked out of him. But actually, you can go through a difficult time and still remain very proud because you remain independent, self-sufficient, critical of others, judgmental of others. You see, the pride is still there. And you could actually be blaming others for all the difficulties that you're going through. Because actually you haven't been humbled, you haven't been broken by events, you've remained proud. So it's this pride that enables this enemy to come up and get hold of people unawares. And the enemy, you see, is using them because remember what James says about the mouth? You know, it can... actually be motivated by the fires of hell, he says. It can speak blessing, it can speak curse, but it can actually be used by the fires of hell. So often when Leviathan strikes, he uses the mouth. And you see, what he does is to twist the truth. And of course, he is a deceiving spirit because all demonic spirits are deceiving spirits. The enemy is the deceiver of the brethren. And so what he manages to do is to convince the people that he gets hold of that what they are saying or thinking is the truth, whereas in fact it isn't the truth. It's a distortion, it's a twisting of the truth. But what they do is they speak to others as if it is the truth. And so this is how a Leviathan spirit or any other deceptive spirit spreads his influence through not just Christians. I mean, it's happening in the world all the time. But, of course, it shouldn't be happening in the Christian community. But what happens is negative things are broadcast from one believer to another, and it isn't actually the truth, it's a twisting of the truth. And that can be a distorting of the facts, or it can be charging and accusing somebody of something they've already been forgiven. You see, if somebody's been forgiven something, it no longer exists. And God will never bring up something that he has erased from the record books. You see, how far he's removed our sin as far as us from east is west. How far is east from west? You see, it cannot be measured. He has removed our sin so far from us, it cannot be measured. So for the enemy to try to reawaken things, guilt and so on, is definitely a work of the enemy. It's never a work of the Holy Spirit. Are we there? So there's always a looking to the past, a raking over the past. People look to the past to find justifiable causes for criticizing, condemning, judging. Sadly, ever since we were alerted to this a few years ago, I've come across, and people contact me, they phone me sometimes, about this spirit and how it's attacking. As I said, somebody else spoke to me only this past weekend. And there's the same pattern, wherever it attacks. These same things happen. They may happen in slightly different ways, but the same things. And usually the attack is upon the leaders or those close to the leadership, in the leadership. See, because the enemy knows if he can twist the leadership, the whole body is going to come into some kind of disorder and disunity. So we need to be alert to this, but what we're concerned about this morning is that we get the victory over this. Because there was an attack a few years ago that sadly led to a number of people leaving kingdom faith, but praise God, he preserved the body from what could have been a very, very destructive attack of the enemy. And you can just imagine, here's this twisting spirit, he sort of lines up on the beach the people that he has influenced. And until they're set free from that, they cannot really be reconciled or drawn back into the purposes of God in the full way that God intends. God gave me this picture, and I was praying this morning of sort of bodies lined up on the beach. And he said, you know, to see people set free from this, there has to be a kind of dying and then a resurrection. And what has to die with them is all the falsehood and the pride and everything that has led to that. It's not just a question of praying a prayer of deliverance over them. There has to be a death and resurrection. This death-resurrection principle is all the way through Scripture, isn't it? Dying to that life of being deceived, rising up again. And until the Lord was explaining to me that until that process has taken place, the person is never really free. Always feels that they're under some kind of cloud, under some kind of heaviness. They can function in other ways, they can still pray and all the rest of it, but there's just something that is binding and restricting them. And until that sort of death resurrection process takes place in their lives, they'll never really be truly free. Now, what you find is when people are under the influence of this spirit, it's almost impossible to talk to them. Everything you say gets twisted. Everything you say is turned into something that is actually deception and not the truth. You can speak the words of truth, and by the time they hear it, they've twisted it. And when they speak to someone else about what you said, they tell the other people what the twisted version they heard, not actually what you said. So you get constantly misrepresented. Are you there?
Yes.
Now you can see what a work of the enemy is, because if the truth is being twisted, that's a denial of the truth, and we are called to walk in the truth, and we follow he who is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So you can see that any spirit of deception is going to be resisting the truth. So we need to see Leviathan put in his place.
Yes.
And the Lord is a mighty warrior.
Yes.
The battle does belong to the Lord. He is our banner, our victory.
Yes.
And that's why he, in these last few weeks, he's been drawing us back closer to him, into that first love, into that closeness of relationship. Now, just as those that come under the influence of the Spirit become very judgmental, what we must be careful to do is not to judge anyone that comes under the influence of the Spirit. Because otherwise we become part of the problem and not the answer. That's very important to understand. So, you know, if the enemy wants to spread judgment through the body, we don't want to come under the influence of that spirit, if you like, as a knock-on effect from those that he is using in a critical way. You with me? So it's very important that we don't judge them. We have to recognize these are brethren who have become deceived. Right? Therefore, our concern is for them. And our concern is for them to be set free. Not to judge them, but to pray for their freedom. Because while they're in the jaws of this spirit, they can't be free. And while they're in the jaws of the spirit, you see, he may not have killed them, but he's twisting them and twisting the truth all the time in their thinking, in their speaking, in actually in what they believe even. Hello? So when somebody has really been heavily under the influence of this spirit and is actually being used by this spirit to spread negative things away, they begin to believe their own lies.
Yes.
They really believe that their misconception of the truth is the truth and it isn't the truth. So that's just a stating of the problem. And I've had to go into some detail of that. I don't, as far as team are concerned and those of you who have been around, it's not that I want to, you know, bring up things of the past, but because all that's dealt with. But, you know, for the benefit of the new students, we all need to understand what it is we're doing and what it is we're up against. And it doesn't hurt us to remember what it is that we're up against. Praise God for any who have been delivered and set free from its influence. But still there are people in the body that are being attacked by this spirit. And still there are other people, other churches that in some way have some contact or relationship to kingdom faith that are being attacked by the spirit. There's many, many other churches that are also under attack. Well, as far as I can discern really, what the enemy does is attack churches that could be strategic in being effective over the enemy and in really sort of encroaching upon his dominion of darkness. Before they become too effective in evangelism or anything else, he wants to attack to try to prevent that, to prevent their increased fruitfulness. So I think this is why the Lord, I mean, I wasn't expecting to speak about this morning until this morning. Yesterday, I had no idea. Usually, God is cooking up something within me for the keynote, and there was absolutely nothing last night. And then this morning, or in the middle of the night, when I got up praying, immediately the God said, now you've got to come against this Leviathan spirit. It was as clear as that. And I'm glad he didn't tell me yesterday, because I was trying to have a bit of a day off yesterday afternoon anyway, and just to rest after the weekend's activities. And you know, I think I would have gone, oh no, not again, have we got to go through this again? But you know, when you know what the Lord is saying something, there's no alternative. And so in his wisdom, praise God, he left it till this morning. He said, right now, this is the victory that needs to be established this morning. Now, there's two things we need to do before, and remember, this is not us coming against Leviathan, it's going to be the Lord coming against Leviathan. Hello?
Yes.
You know, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Yes? This is a satanic spirit. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. We're going to pray against, later on, the spirits of deception in every way in which anybody connected with kingdom faith in any way whatsoever could come under the influence of this spirit, or those who formerly were part of the body here and are still under the influence of this spirit. We still need to pray for them. We still need to pray for that death resurrection. And God spoke to me, because I said, you know, some time ago, I said, Lord, when will we know they're free? And he said, when they come back to you and ask for forgiveness, then you'll know that they're free. Until then, they are not free of it. Well, they haven't come back and asked for forgiveness yet, so we still need to pray for those people. That is forgiveness, not just from me, but from kingdom faith and from the opposition and so on, the damage that they've tried to inflict upon the body. So, we still pray for that. But also, of course, this message goes out to many other people all over the world this morning, and I'm sure that there are many other churches that are recognizing, yeah, there's this twisting of the truth, this criticism, this judgment of one another, especially of those in leadership, that's going on in our church. We thought it was just a human thing, but it's a demonic thing. Now, let's understand that it is also a human thing. It becomes a human thing. Because we're all responsible, aren't we, for the things we say and the things that we do and so on. And I read just a few months ago a passage in a book by Watchman Nee. I thought I'd read nearly all Watchman Nee's, but I came across another one I hadn't read. And in this, he describes this situation absolutely down to a T. I mean, it is... You could almost say, yeah, he was describing exactly what we've been through, what we know. And he then looks at it from the human point of view. And he says, he points out how the areas of disobedience in the believers' lives allowed them to become ensnared by the enemy in this way, and so then to become mouthpieces of the enemy, that the pride actually has led to disobedience. And he draws out a whole series of ways in which people have become disobedient, and of course the enemy is able to lay hold of that. If I had time this morning, I would have looked out the passage and perhaps read some of it to you, because it is just so accurate. Because this is nothing new, right? I mean, when was this written? Thousands of years ago, you see, and still we're in this spiritual battle. But praise God, because of the blood of Jesus and the power and authority of his name, we have the victory. Yes. But we've got to keep establishing that victory and walking in that victory. We've got to keep the ground clear. Amen. If any of you are gardeners, you can know that you can toil in your garden and clear it out of all the weeds. But unless you are vigilant, you go back a few weeks later, and what have you got? More weeds.
Yes.
Right? Because they're in the air. And they get there and the birds bring them and all the rest of it. I mean, we've just got to keep the garden weed-free.
Yes.
We've got to keep kingdom faith weed-free. That means we've got to keep ourselves free of sin, but we've also got to keep the whole thing free of enemy activity. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So what we're going to do now is first we're going to spend just a short period of time opening our hearts before the Lord, asking him just to cleanse our hearts, doing what he said, forgiving anybody with whom we there's anything that needs to forgive, because Jesus says whenever you pray, you need to forgive your brother. And very interesting, isn't that? Because that means that Jesus knows that, because you're to pray every day, aren't you?
Yes,
right. So he knows that every day there's bound to be something happen in your life that you're going to have to forgive someone else.
Yep.
If he says every day, every time you pray, you have to forgive your brother, that means that every day of your life there's going to be something that you will have to forgive. Uh-huh. So you better do that. You don't have to go searching for things. Just say, Lord, just show me. What is there anything? Was something said to me and I didn't forgive it, or something happened to me and I haven't forgiven it? Is there any semblance of any negativity in my heart towards anyone that I need to forgive? Because you see, if we're not clear in that way in our own hearts, then that's going to rob us of authority when we come against the enemy. Are we there?
Yeah.
If we're not obedient to the word of God and we're coming against spirits that twist the word of God, how are we going to be effective? If you see, it's pride and disobedience that has given Leviathan and other spirits opportunity in people's lives, then we've got to know that by the mercy and the grace of God, we stand clean before him. Not through pride, but because of his mercy. Because we have extended mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So we just need to do that very briefly. Then we're going to praise the Lord for a while. We're going to just praise him in his glory. We're going to focus on the glory, because who is the Lord strong and mighty? He is the King of glory. And I believe what God wants to do here this morning is to reveal his glory. I think when it comes to the overcoming of the enemy, that's going to be quite a simple thing. We're not going to have to battle away for hours and hours and hours, because the secret actually is to meet with the Lord in his glory. It's just to focus on his glory and the glory of the Lord. The Lord said something to me this morning. I've never heard him. I always like it when you hear something from God you've never heard before. But he said, this morning when you pray, I'm going to blow a trumpet in heaven. Now, I mean, you think of the book of Revelation, and you know, the voice of the Lord sounds like a trumpet. When he sounds his trumpet, things happen. And they happen in the heavenlies.
Yes.
And so for the Lord to say, when you pray, I'm going to sound a trumpet in heaven, he's going to give us victory in the heavenlies this morning.
Yes.
I know for some of you all this might be quite new. You're not used to this kind of talk and spiritual activity, but you're here to be educated.
That's
so we're learning all the time. Amen. And the Lord is our teacher.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So then we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. He will lead us. He will lead us as to how to pray so that the enemy is the mighty warrior that goes before us.
Yes.
And I'll just finish with this. There was one time, I praise the Lord for all the ways in which the Lord has appeared, and I've seen the Lord in vision and so on. But there was one occasion when I saw him as the mighty warrior. Actually, there were two occasions I've seen him as the mighty warrior. Always difficult to describe these things, isn't it? I mean, you know, John has a real problem to put into words what he sees in the book of Revelation. Because really these things are indescribable. So he keeps saying, well, it was like this, and he appeared like that. But it's impossible to really say what he's like. But in this vision, the Lord, the angel of the Lord, however you want to describe it, was enormous. Absolutely enormous. I felt like if you can imagine, say, someone or a figure as high as this building, and I felt sort of that small by comparison. I was tiny, absolutely tiny. And it was as if he was clothed in armor, but he didn't have any armor. You see, how can you explain that? You see, it's funny, isn't it? But it was, you just knew that nothing could come against him to harm him. That whatever was fired at him, I mean, you think of all the things that are said about God, all the derogatory things, all the blasphemous things and so on, and all the negativity that is directed towards God all around the world every day. And it was as if whatever came against him would just bounce off him, would have absolutely no effect upon him whatsoever. And yet there was this sense of, you know, if he just sort of lifted his arm and extended his arm, such power would go out that none would be able to withstand his power. And it was an amazing thing. I mean, I can remember I was just sort of broken and humbled before the Lord when I saw him like this. And it was, God does these things at the most unexpected time. I don't even know why he did it, when he did it. It was some years later that I realized why he did it and when he did it. And then, you see, he said to us last time we came against this Leviathan thing, that he would go before us as the mighty warrior. See? And we're following. We're in his triumphant procession. Now, when you're in a procession, he's the one that heads it up. And we've got this amazing, mighty, glorious God shining. He was radiant in glory, and yet, you know, nothing could touch him. Nothing could come against him. And just one movement from him would, boom, was so powerful as to overcome. I probably haven't described it very well at all, but are you getting some sense of what I mean? Get your own visions then. Right. So come on, let's stand and we'll just prepare our hearts and then we're going to worship him. We can have the band up. We might use them, we might not, but be up there ready. Hallelujah. Right, let's just still our hearts first of all, because if we're going to come against the enemy, there mustn't be anything in our hearts or lives that he can use as some pretext to withstand us. So first of all, let's just affirm our love for Jesus. He is our first love. Because he is who he is. Hallelujah. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our Savior. He is our victory. He is a mighty warrior. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Ho rasataba karasitaba. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let's just be sure that we're in a right place with everybody else, that there's nobody we need to forgive. But at the same time, say, Lord, if there's any deception in my thinking, I ask that the Spirit of truth cleanses me of all deception. And Lord, I forgive anyone and everyone who has ever spoken against me, come against me, because they've been under the influence of a spirit of deception. Come on, it's important for you to do that. Lord, I forgive them. I don't judge them. I forgive them. And I pray for them that if they're still under the influence of any spirit of deception, that they will be set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, set a watch over my mouth, because I never want to twist the truth. We know that the devil is the father of lies, and lies are really a twisting of the truth. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth, your word being the word of truth. Thank you that you lead us and guide us into the truth. But Lord, if we have ever twisted the truth in any way whatsoever to our own advantage, we just pray now for your forgiveness. And we just forgive any who have tried to influence us by twisting the truth. We just take the shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the evil one. Hallelujah. Now, what this spirit tries to do, you see, is to separate. So, Lord, we thank you for your grace that has enabled us to withstand every attempt of the enemy to get us to separate from other believers, anything to come in and cause division between us. We just take that shield of faith in the name of Jesus that quenches all those fiery darts. Thank you, Lord, that we are one body, that we belong together, that you have prayed for our unity to be maintained and not to allow anything to come in and divide and to separate us. And we give you the glory, Lord. We give you the honor and the praise. Thank you, Lord, that you deliver us from every critical spirit, from every judgmental attitude, from any way in which we would harbor any kind of resentment or bitterness or hurt or offense. Lord, you were dealing with all that stuff last week, so we trust that nothing has accumulated since that in our hearts and lives. But if there is anything of that nature whatsoever, we ask now for your forgiveness. We ask for the cleansing of your blood from those things. And we praise you, Lord. We bless you. Again, we pray, Lord, for any that have caused us hurt, any that have offended us in any way whatsoever. We don't judge them, Lord. We pray for them. We pray that they will be set free from whatever has been operating in their lives to cause them to hurt and to give offense and all the rest. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to lift us up as we humble ourselves before you. Thank you that your word says that you lift us up above our enemies. And Lord, we know the enemies are not the people that have been influenced, but the enemies are the powers of darkness that have influenced others. And Lord, it's those powers of darkness that we come against this morning in obedience to the leading of your Spirit. And we believe, Lord, that you are going to blow a trumpet in heaven. Yes. We believe that you are going to give us victory in heavenly places. We believe that powers and principalities are going to be overcome. We thank you that strongholds of the enemy are going to be pulled down this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to release your spirit of victory over our lives personally, over kingdom faith, over people that have been struggling, and over churches that are related to kingdom faith. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to do all this. But first of all, Lord, we just want to exalt you as the King. You are the King of glory. We lift up our heads. We lift up our heads. We lift up our heads and we worship you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's have a victory song. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Pura la bazata para zata baya zata bakala zita ba. Bapara zata baria leto bakala zita ba. Come on, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are the Lord of glory, high and lifted up, and your train fills the temple. We cry, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord, the King of glory. Pura la basara basandu. Papari eleno masalari eleno masandu. Pasalari eleno masandu balanama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are a mighty warrior, Lord. You are the mighty warrior. Hallelujah. Salalalama Sando Balanama. Yes. Yes, my Lord. Yes, my Lord. Yes, my Lord. Yes. Lord, pura la massa la maria leno ma santo, pularia leno ma, pularia leno ma, pieria leno ma santo, pularia leno ma sino ma, ora la massito risando. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Kiriye lara basala masandu. Bolala mari elena masinoma. Purielena masala maranama, orra la masanduma. Oh, yes, 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 yes. 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 Pura la marielena ma. Pura la marielena masandu. Pura la massa la Maria Elena Massino ma. Pura la massa la Maria Elena ma. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, my God. Yes, my God. Yes, my God. Yes, my God. Pola la Maria Elena Massa, la Maria Elena Massanto. Pala la Maria Elena Massa, la Marana Marana Ma. Oh, come on, Jesus.
Come on, Jesus. Be glorified, be magnified, Lord of glory. Puralama salamari elenoma. Puralama salamari elenoma sandu. Puralama salamari elenoma sinomaranoma. Come on, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Koralalama salamandari elenoma. We exalt you, Lord. 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 You are high and lifted up. Your name is above every name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we exalt your name above every other name. Thank you that your name is exalted above the name of Leviathan and of every other spirit. We exalt your name, the holy name of Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior, Victor, over all the powers of the evil one. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We bless you, Jesus, that you have overcome. We thank you, Lord, that on the cross you destroyed every power of the evil one. Thank you that you have disarmed the principalities and power. Thank you that Leviathan and every other satanic spirit is under judgment and will be confined eternally to the lake of fire. We proclaim your victory, Lord Jesus, over Leviathan, over every other demonic spirit. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus, that you give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we believe your word now, that you sound a trumpet in heaven. That as we sound a trumpet here in Zion among your people of God, so you sound the trumpet in heaven. Hallelujah. And you give us the victory in heavenly places over the spirit of Leviathan and over every other demonic spirit that comes against us personally or corporately as Kingdom Faith, or anybody connected with Kingdom Faith, any churches that are in relation to Kingdom Faith. We proclaim, Lord, your victory, your freedom, your protection over the whole of your body here. We plead that blood. We put that bloodline of protection. We plead that blood covering over every single person that belongs to Kingdom Faith. All those who we love, all those, Lord, who belong to us in any way whatsoever, we thank you, Lord, for the power and protection of your name, for the power and protection of your blood, and for the victory of your name that is higher than the name of Leviathan, higher than the name of every other spirit. And we give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord. The Lord rebuke you, Leviathan. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. How dare you come against the people of God in this place? How How dare you come against me? How dare you come against other leaders here? How dare you come against the body of Christ? How dare you come against any other church or people connected to us? The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. You foul, evil, demonic, satanic being. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that even now you dispatch the cohorts of heaven. Lord, so often people say they have an open heaven. But I thank you, Lord, that you're giving us an open heaven this morning. That the enemy that has sought to defile that is defeated and is overcome. Thank you that you sound the trumpet of victory over Leviathan and over every other demonic spirit in the name of Jesus. Every unclean spirit, every lying spirit, every deceiving spirit, every spirit of infirmity and sickness, every spirit that has sought to blind the minds and the eyes of unbelievers, to hinder the evangelism that you want. We bind all those spirits now in the name of Jesus. We exercise the authority we have as the people of God seated in heavenly places. And we say to you, demonic spirits, you are bound and you are consigned to hell where you belong. Take your hands off every person connected with Kingdom Faith. We command this in the name of Jesus, by the power of his blood. You are to release immediately anybody that you have sought to influence. Come on, let's praise the Lord for his victory. Papara la basatari eletto pacala si trisatuba. Basandari eletto pacala satapari eletto pacala si taba. Papari eletto pacala si trisatuba cala salanduba. Papare sito balato bacala si noma. Balatapari eletto bacala si trisatuba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to pray for all those that have been victims of Leviathan. You know, that God showed me are like those people lying up on the beach. The Lord showed me it wasn't just a matter of praying that their eyes would be open to the way they've been deceived, or because it's very difficult for people to acknowledge that. But he said to pray for this death resurrection, that a death would take place within them, a real dying, a dying to the pride and disobedience, whatever else gave the enemy the opportunity. The Lord showed me it's more than just a repentance that's needed. Lord, we just pray right now for every single person that is known to us, that has been under the influence of that Leviathan spirit or of any other demonic spirit that has captivated them. And in the name of Jesus, we say, die. Die to what has been. And rise to what God intends for you in your life. That there will be a death of what has been. And a rising again in a new relationship, a new submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. that there would be a restoration take place in every one of your lives. We bless you in the name of the Lord, that you will rise, each of you, to fulfill your destiny in God, and that this sad chapter will be put behind you. You would die to what has been and rise to what God intends there to be in the future. And we praise you, Lord. We praise you, and we ask, Lord Jesus, that this death resurrection principle will happen speedily.
Yes. Yeah.
And that none of those for whom we pray will resist this process or prolong the process, but somehow you will move in their hearts and lives in a speedy manner to rescue them from the jaws that entrap them. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God's just showing me this vision, this picture he showed me earlier. It was like these bodies lined up on the beach, and even as we're praying now, I see them stirring. I see them standing. I see them being restored. I see them lifting up their hands in worship. There's a kind of bewildering wonderment about them, but of knowing that the darkness that they've been in has passed and they are restored to the light of the truth. No more twisting. Everything now coming in right order. No more accusations, no more lies. No more judgment, no more condemnation. We speak that over their lives in the name of Jesus. We speak peace and joy into their hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I just see the water that was by that beach. And instead of the turmoil, the thrashing about of the crocodile, drowning its prey, twisting and drowning its prey. Now all is peaceful. There's a calmness. And I see the bodies of dead crocodiles just floating to the surface. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you show us in the Spirit. And the Lord's just saying, I have sounded that trumpet in heaven. And my heavenly armies have responded. And I have sent out those armies to do battle and to overcome on your behalf, to give you the victory for which you have believed. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just lift our hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. We give you praise. We bless your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. O paparazatari alero bakala sitri sandama. O paparazatari alero bakala sitri sato bakala zundama. O paparazatari alero bakala sitri sandama. O paparazatari alero bakala sitaba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you are so good. Your mercies endure forever. Oh, now there's one more area. The Lord spoke to me about, and he spoke to me many years ago now, that what the enemy tries to do to effective ministries and churches is to try to limit their activity by throttling their finances. And the Lord just showed me it's this same spirit that has been coming against us financially as well as in other ways. So we're going to pray now for the release of those finances, right? They're no longer going to be throttled. I praise God for the way the finances have been improved, for what Pastor Clive and the elders and the trustees have done in these last couple of years in the reordering and the remanaging of our finances. All that is good. But in order to see the fulfillment of everything that God is calling us to do, more than just the reordering of what we have is needed. There needs to be a great release of what we do not have. That God will pour that into our coffers, into the storehouse, so that we will be able to grow and develop and expand in the way that he intends, because there's going to be an expansion in so many ways in the coming months. I mean, God's getting us ready for this real move, reviving move of the Spirit, isn't he? I mean, you just sense every week where there's increased activity of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're just going to pray now. We thank you, Lord, that as you have given us the victory this morning, as we see those crocodiles floating in the river, dead. So, Lord, we believe that all those spirits that have come against us to throttle finances, they are overcome, they are defeated in the name of Jesus. Every way in which the enemy has sought to steal effectiveness from kingdom faith through a throttling of finances ends today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the victory in this area. Thank you, Lord, that we are no longer going to find the finances choked. But we thank you now for a fresh release, Lord, of your provision. We give you thanks that we have all that you say we have. We thank you for the abundance that we need, not only to prosper in what we're doing now, but to see the future developments prosper. Hallelujah, Lord, that the things that have been held up for lack of finance are now going to be released in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The areas of ministry, the opening of new churches, of new congregations, the work that needs to be done on buildings, and even, Lord, the preparation for the new buildings that we're going to need to contain the growth that is going to come about in the following years. We thank you, Lord, for the release of those finances. We thank you for financial miracles, and no enemy activity can throttle, hinder, prevent that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Come on, praise him for abundance. Praise him for abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, just rejoice that you are free. Your finances are released. Amen. The enemy isn't going to throttle your finances or finance of any area of ministry that you're involved in. There's release in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we must have one more song of really glorify the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.